Blog Talk Radio.
We go outside him, inside him, outside him, and when we get him on the run once, we're going to keep him on the run. And we're not going to pass unless our secondary comes up too close. But don't forget, man, we're going to get him on the run. We're going to go, 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 and we aren't going to stop until we go to our goal line. Don't forget, man, today is the day we're going to win. They can't lick us, and the black out of the goal. The first was running back with the fight, 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 fight. What do you say, man?
We hand off to Urschel. There's a hole. 5, 10, 12. He's running all the people. Oh, you Urschel walkers. My God almighty, he ran right through two men. Urschel ran right over two men.
He drops straight back, has some time. Now he scrambles away from one hit. Looks, uncorks a deep one for the end zone. Phelan is down there.
Oh, he got it!
He got it!
He got it!
Ball comes loose and the Bears have to get out of bounds. Rodgers along the sideline, another one. They're still in deep trouble at midfield. They tried to do a couple of... The ball is still loose as they get it to Rodgers. They give it back now to the 30. They're down to the 20. Oh, the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone. He's going to go into the end zone. The Bears have won. The Bears have won. Oh, my God. The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
And it was powered by another
numbers, more yards to those.
Oh, they don't have them yet. Look at Tommy Frazier. How many tackles can one man break?
It's up. Gets it to the right.
Rewind out to the top of the picture. Stewart with time. Let it go.
Some of the greatest moments in the history of college football. Good morning and welcome to week two of the college football season. This is the College Football Blitz, hosted by Alex Larzinski, yours truly. And I wonder if this play will one day make it into the annals of footage.
Three-man rush. Mangum, all kinds of time. Steps into the throw, in the wind, down to the goal line, and caught! Touchdown, BYU! Mitch Matthews on the last play of the game.
The ruling on the field is a touchdown. The previous play is under further review.
It was indeed a touchdown and an improbable comeback for BYU last week with the backup quarterback, Tanner Mangum, and for the injured Taysom Hill, who is out for the year with a Lisfranc injury. And BYU goes on to beat Nebraska, and I bet you, nah, it couldn't be that bad. Great that Cornhusker fans would be looking for Bo Pelini again. No, it couldn't be that bad. That is your Fantasy Sports Warehouse Play of the Week. The Hail Mary pass to beat Nebraska. And again, good morning, everybody. We have a great show for you today. We're going to have a quick one today. We're going to recap last week, taking a look at the three biggest games on the slate today. I'm going to do that with Joe Lacy from GoForTheTwo.com. We had Joe on last week. Joe's going to help me break down a little bit later on in the show the three big games of the day: Oklahoma, Tennessee, Michigan State, Oregon, which is the bigger one of the three. Games, one that I'm very excited to see today and watch. Again, I said Oklahoma and Tennessee and LSU and Mississippi. So that's what we have on the slate, the docket today. We'll take a look back at last week. We'll listen to some of the highlights. We'll listen to about 4 minutes worth of highlights from last week and recap last week a little bit. I'll give you the 10 best stats from week one in college football. We'll, again, take a look at week two, and then I will release you to the day in college football. So thanks for joining me here today. Again, we are brought to you by the Fantasy Sports Warehouse. Just an amazing site. Check it out. All of the sports that you could possibly want. And the FanUp Network. Speaking of the FanUp Network, check this out.
FanUp Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com as your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
And, again, FantasySportsWarehouse.com should be big tomorrow as the NFL, which has already kicked off its week with the Patriots and the Steelers, kick off the rest of the slate tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock, week one of the National Football League. And be sure to come right back here to the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Network as Brian Yates and I will have the NFL standard as we will break down all of the week one games and, of course, all of your fantasy options as well. All right, I'm not exactly sure what's going on there. I was looking for the other commercial, but no big deal. Let's take a look, listen, back to week one of the college football season. Again, the biggest game of the week, the biggest upset of the week last week, the Hail Mary BYU Nebraska pass.
Over the middle, finds Gerald Everett, wide receiver. They can't bring him down as he tightropes the sideline into the end zone. Self to death. So you gotta fire up.
For the double move down the seam, perfectly thrown, touchdown, UCLA. Intercepted, picked off by Cairo.
Corner blitz, they throw out to that vacated spot two. Christian Kirk, great speed, cuts back inside of the 30. Christian Kirk's already scored once tonight. He's going to score again. Touchdown.
Finally throws, got it, touchdown.
And it's now third and goal from the 22-yard line. Flowers, and he's in trouble. Flowers trying to race away from a Darius Smith and throws at the end of the line of scrimmage. Now the catch is made, and it's a touchdown.
First play of the season, Boom Williams. Boom Williams across midfield. Inside the 20, and Kentucky opens the season with a sonic boom.
Try to take a deep shot himself. He's got a man, and it is caught. Touchdown. Cortland Sutton, what an answer.
Quick hitter to Westergaard. He's in trouble. He's going to get away after it looked like he'd get dragged down for a loss. Instead, he's going to score.
Cuts it back. Grant 25. Grant 40. Grant midfield. Foot race. One man to beat. Grant.
It's a foot race to the end zone. 101 yards. Darius Phillips. Touchdown, Western Michigan.
Last play of the game. Snap, Tanner. Backfill. Sprint out to the right. Got time. Loads up. Launches it. Goes to the end zone. Falls in the air and drops. At the goal line. On the encounter for a touchdown. He got it. He got it. He got it. Touchdown, Nick Matthews. The Cougars win it. The Cougars win it.
There you have it. Week one highlights of the college football season is it was for the most part a very exciting. These morning shows are just—they're horrible. Normally, this would be a Thursday evening show where we would all be well rested, ready to go, and just sounding on top of our game. But not so on Saturday mornings when the editing is in and out, the sound bites won't cooperate, the blog talk people don't cooperate. It's so much better on a Thursday. We did our college football blitz the first 2 years of the show. We did on a Saturday morning, and one of the reasons we moved it to Thursday night was for just this very reason. And it's not just blog talk's fault. You know, I have to tell you, it's tough to get on top of your game on Friday night. I broadcast high school football games here in the Sunshine State, Florida, and we get out late, and it's an exhausting evening, a lot of fun, no question about it. I'm not bitching, moaning, or complaining by any stretch of the imagination. It's a lot of fun, but it's exhausting because you're up and down those metal bleachers, in and out of the press box. You're conducting halftime interviews. High school football is a lot different than college and the NFL because – there are coaches that will cooperate with you. You can get a word with a player after a big play. It's just a different and unique type of a situation. Bottom line is, it makes it difficult on a Saturday morning to get up and be at your best. That's no excuse. I'm a professional, so from this point on, let's be at our best, and that's exactly what we'll do here. There are 10 amazing stats from week one of the college football season. The first one I'll give you is 10.5. That's an unbelievable stat when you think that is Baylor's average yards per play, excuse me, against SMU. Obviously, as expected, Baylor's offense didn't miss a beat with Seth Russell instead of Bryce Petty under center. The Bears scored 56 points, accumulated 723 overall yards, and set a school record by averaging 10.5 yards per play against the Mustangs. Russell's final stat line was also pretty damn impressive. He averaged 25.1 yards per completion on 30 attempts and hitting on 5 passing plays of 40 yards or more. The next number I'm going to give you from last week is 9, and that's the number of sacks generated by Texas A&M against Arizona State. How was Texas A&M's defense going to be? We knew what we could expect from their offense, but Texas A&M's offseason hire of John Chavis as its new defensive coordinator arguably up there with Will Muschamp going to Auburn as one of the best hires in the nation. And the Aggies, honestly, they didn't waste any time showing how much the addition of Chavis meant to the group. Texas A&M just absolutely wreaked havoc against the line of scrimmage all night against Arizona State. They're recording a whopping 9 sacks and 14 tackles for a loss in a 38-17 victory over the Sun Devils. The Aggies struggled in recent years and given up big plays, but Chavis' group allowed only two plays of 20 yards or more to the Sun Devils. Texas A&M's defensive effort was arguably one of the best performances of week one, especially considering where that defense has come from over the last 2 years. The next number I'm going to give you is 8-8. That was the record by college football's new coaches for 2015 in week one. Of the 16 new coaches, they all had an 8-8 record. College football's new coaches, sort of a mixed bag last week. Intern coach Bill Covett got in Illinois to an easy 52-3 win over Kent State, while Gary Anderson, Pat Narduzzi, Tom Herman, Lance Leopold, Mike Bobo all propelled their teams to wins over FCS opponents. Jim McElwain and Philip Montgomery were victorious against FBS foes, while Jim Harbaugh, Chad Morris, Mike Riley, Paul Chris, Neil Brown, David Beattie, Tony Sanchez, and John Bonamigo Central Michigan lost their debuts with their new teams. The next number I'm going to give you is 351. That's passing yards by UCLA freshman, true freshman, quarterback Josh Rosen, a guy that I think, quite honestly, is going to be in the Heisman talk. Now, we've seen Johnny Manziel, of course, and Jameis Winston, but they're redshirt freshmen. Josh Rosen's a true freshman. And I think if, as predicted, right here on this show a couple of weeks ago, when we get our college football preview, myself and Brandon Pemberton really seemed to think that UCLA was the deepest team in the Pac-12. And I really felt like that if UCLA came out of the Pac-12 this year, that Josh Rosen would be a big reason for that, and that he would be undoubtedly considered one of the top three Heisman candidates in the country. And he gets off to a magnificent start last week, again as a true freshman, making his start first start for the Pac-12 title contender. Look, the pressure was on the kid. He's got a ton of confidence, a ton of ability, and he was sharp in UCLA's 34-16 victory over Virginia. He completed 28 out of 35 passes for 351 yards and three touchdowns, in addition to becoming the first true freshman quarterback to start for UCLA in the season opener. Rosen also set a single-game record for freshmen in completions, attempts, and passing yards. So congratulations to Jim Mora Jr., the UCLA Bruins, and Josh Rosen. A lot of people weren't sure. You know, he takes Rosen over Neuheisel. Looks like at least following week one, that's a good call. Here's the most ridiculous stat of the week, especially when you consider the team that did it against the team that did it against. And the next stat I'm going to give you is 10. And that's sacks allowed by the Penn State offensive line against Temple University. Penn State's offensive line was obviously, even for Christian Hackenberg, considered a weak link for the team this season. But my goodness gracious, the weakest link, really, with better depth, obviously in the addition of junior college recruit Paris Palmer at left tackle, they were expecting improvement this year. And of course, at this rate, it looks as though that Hagenberg could be sacked 120 times. But that didn't happen on Saturday in terms of the improvement. Temple showed the Nittany Lions that they still got a ton of work to do in the trenches. Quarterback Christian Hackenberg, he was sacked 10 times. And the Owls generated 11 tackles for a loss. Additionally, Penn State never managed more than 19 yards on each of its last 12 drives. So not a good start for James Franklin and a dark horse candidate for the Heisman Trophy in Christian Hackenberg. The next number I'm going to give you is 29. That's Nebraska's streak of wins in openers. It ends at 29 straight. Nebraska's 29-game winning streak in season openers was the best mark in the nation, but that run ended in stunning fashion, as we heard on the onset of the show. BYU quarterback Tanner Mangum connected with Mitch Matthews on a 42-yard Hail Mary touchdown pass on the game's final play to knock off the Cornhuskers 33-28. Florida, the Gators, now owns the nation's longest winning streak in openers with a streak of 26 consecutive victories after pummeling New Mexico State Saturday night in Jim McElwain's debut. The next number I'm going to give you is 7.8. Here was the biggest upset loss of week one, and 7.8 was the Stanford quarterback Kevin Hogan's average yards per completion. Look, he had a solid finish, three-game finish to 2014, and hopes were high for Stanford's offense to really pick up where they left off last season. However, the Cardinal managed only 240 total yards against Northwestern, averaging just a paltry 3.9 yards per play. Blame has to be shared at each level on the offense. Obviously, more big plays are needed here out of the passing attack. Hogan connected on 20 of 35 for just 155 yards. He had a pick, and again, averaged just 7.8 yards per completion. Additionally, last week, the longest passing play from Stanford was just 16 yards in their loss on Saturday night. An inexcusable loss. They host UCF tonight at home. The Knights also lose a game last week, really in the last minute there against Florida International. So we'll see how Stanford bounces back tonight hosting UCF. The next stat I'm going to give you is 20. That's points scored by Texas in the last three games under Charlie Strong. Texas finished the 2014 season ranked ninth in the Big 12 in scoring offense. by averaging just 21.4 points a game, and that's never going to get it done in the Big 12. While major improvement obviously was expected this year, the Longhorns were really expected to take a major step forward on offense. Unbelievably, and I know it was Notre Dame, if Saturday night's game against Notre Dame is any indication how Texas's offense is going to be this year, it's a huge concern. Reese Davis said this morning that Texas's offense couldn't find the end zone with a GPS and a guide dog. That's pretty much the extent of it at the moment for Charlie Strong. The Longhorns managed only 3 points against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish and have just 20 over their last three games. Additionally, Texas averaged just 3.1 yards per play against Notre Dame and only generated 2 plays of 20 yards or more. Needless to say, Strong and coordinator Sean Watson have a lot of work to do to get this unit on track. 233, the number 9 stat of the week I'm going to give you. That's Maryland quarterback William Likely's punt return yards against the Richmond Spiders last week. Likely said a Big Ten. I still can't get used to saying that for Maryland. I'm from Maryland. I'm a Terps fan. I was Tobacco Road all the way. And to see Maryland still associated with the Big Ten absolutely throws me for a loop. Likely set a Big Ten single-season game record with 233 punt return yards in Maryland's 50-21 victory over Richmond. The junior scored on a 67-yard return in the fourth quarter and finished Saturday's action with a 29.1 average on punt returns. Likely is one of the Big Ten's top defensive backs, but he's also solidifying his place, obviously, as one of the nation's best returners. And finally, the final stat I'll give you for week one as we put a ribbon on it, and that is 12-1, you SEC haters. I know the majority of the games against FCS and FBS teams, but we didn't see the Pac-12 and the Big 12, especially the TCUs of the world, I feel at least anyway, looking as impressive as the SEC did last week against some of those similar opponents. They had a sluggish bowl year last year to the SEC, and, of course, they had their share of doubters coming into the year. They took plenty of criticism in the preseason. While, again, it's only week one, and there's plenty to be decided in the next few months. There's a big game today between LSU and Mississippi State. The SEC turned in a whopping 12-1 record last week. Vanderbilt, obviously, was the only SEC team to lose its opener, while LSU's matchup against McNeese State was canceled due to weather. Alabama, Auburn, South Carolina, and Texas A&M headlined the weekend action from this league, scoring key non-conference victories at neutral sites. So there are the 10 best stats from college football week one. You're listening to the College Football Blitz right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. Scheduled to join me probably in about 15 minutes is going to be Joe Lisi of GoForTheTwo.com. Joe can also be heard on various, he's got his own podcast, and he's on the Yahoo Sports Radio Network. Joe is everywhere, and perhaps the brightest mind in college football when it comes to talking college football. Joe's going to help me break down the three big games of the day today. When you look at this, it's number 7, Oregon, at number 5, Michigan State. What's at stake in this one? Well, you look at this, it's too early to call this a playoff elimination game, but it's a playoff elimination game. So you got number 7, Oregon, at number 5, Michigan State. You've got number 19, Oklahoma. By the way, I'll let you know that the Michigan State and Oregon game is 8 o'clock tonight on ABC. Then you've got at 6 o'clock tonight on ESPN, you've got number 19, Oklahoma, at number 23, Tennessee. To me, this is the game of the three games that's the most intriguing for me. Oklahoma is attempting to beat a Southeastern Conference team for the third straight season. The Sooners ended the 2013 season, if you'll remember, with a 45-31 Sugar Bowl victory over Alabama and beat Tennessee 34-10 last year. Tennessee is the sexy pick in the SEC. Meanwhile, Oklahoma head coach Bob Stoops is on the hot seat. Another 8-4, 8-5 season in Oklahoma. And it's likely Stoops is the one that's replaced instead of all his coordinators, as Stoops did following their blowout loss to Clemson last year in the Citrus Bowl. And, of course, the other big game on the docket today is LSU against Mississippi. Looking forward to this contest as well. And then you've also got tonight at today at 3:30 on ABC, number 9 Notre Dame at ACC Virginia. So that's what we'll talk to Joe Lisi about when he calls in in about 15 minutes. Let's take a look really around the rest of the conferences. We'll start with the ACC. We'll look at the ACC by the numbers real quick here. Last week in the ACC, three held below 100 total yards. Three ACC teams last week, Boston College, Syracuse, and Miami, held their opponents to under 100 total yards of offense last weekend, making the ACC the only conference to have three teams to do so on the same weekend since at least 2000. 1943. Not since 1943 has Clemson played as many as 13 true freshmen in a season opening game. That year, of course, was in the middle of World War II. Clemson's upperclassmen had all been drafted into the war, not the National Football League. When Syracuse held Rhode Island to just 64 yards of total offense, it marked the lowest total allowed by a Syracuse defense since 1967, when the Cuse held West Virginia to 61 yards. Wake Forest is 591 yards of total offense recorded last Saturday against Elon, was the school's highest yardage output since a 598-yard performance against ACC foe Virginia in 1975, when Boston College held Maine to just 91 total yards in its season-opening win. It marked the fewest yards allowed by BC since yielding only 75 to Northwestern in 1992. And as of Tuesday, NFL rosters included 18 quarterbacks who played at current ACC schools. That is the most of any conference nationally. In all, 16 of the 18 were on active rosters, and six were projected to start. So there are some of the news and stats around the ACC. I'll give you another interesting statistic. 9-13, that's the completion percentage for NC State's Jacoby Brissett. After just 1 week of the season, Brissett was 21 of 23 in State's 49-21 win over Troy. And then Robert Aguayo, all-world kicker Robert Aguayo for Florida State, his career field goal percentage is 9-25. So there are some extra stats for you. Looking around the rest of the ACC docket today, we'll do that right now. University of Miami, of course, with a win last night against Florida Atlantic, started off a little bit slow, but the Canes go on to get a big victory in that one. Brad Kaya looked sharp again in that game. Keeps his consecutive touchdown streak alive with 15 straight games. Kaya has now thrown a touchdown pass in every game he started in his collegiate career. Today, this game kicks off in about 4 minutes. You've got Houston at Louisville. Last week, Houston defeated Tennessee Tech. Auburn defeated Louisville. Louisville opens its home slate today by playing host to the Cougars for the second time in 3 years. The Cards have won at least three meetings between the two teams, including a 2013 decision, when both teams were members of the AAC. Running back Dominique Brown ran for a career high 137 yards and two touchdowns to lead the Cardinals. That was Louisville's third straight win in the series. Houston senior defensive backs Adrian McDonald ranked second on the Cougars' all-time list with 14 career interceptions. And Louisville quarterback Lamar Jackson had at least 100 yards rushing and passing after coming off the bench in the narrow loss to Auburn. You've got Wake Forest heading to the Carrier Dome in an ACC battle to take on Syracuse. The first conference game of the season finds the homestanding Orange seeking its fourth straight win of the Demon Deacons and third straight since joining the ACC for the 2013 season. Syracuse claimed a 30-7 win last year in last year's Atlantic Division game in Winston-Salem as the Orange scored two defensive touchdowns. And freshman quarterback A.J. Long ran for another one. You've got Appalachian State taking on Clemson today. This should be a pretty easy win for Clemson, but didn't Michigan think that a couple of years ago, back in 2007, when App State visited Michigan, right, the Big House? But this should be, look, if Clemson loses Mike Williams last week, a bad scene there at Clemson. Injuries, really, the big story of the week in the ACC. When you look at not just Clemson, but Pittsburgh and Syracuse and Virginia Tech are all going to play this weekend without major cogs to their respective offenses. Mike Williams, neck, he's out indefinitely. Panthers running back and a guy that was expected to be
one of the leading contenders for ACC Offensive Player of the Year, James Conner, gone for the season with a knee injury. Hokies quarterback Michael Brewer broke his collarbone against Ohio State. He's out 4 to 8 weeks. And, of course, Syracuse starting quarterback is out with a torn Achilles tendon. Clemson has depth at talent, depth and talent at the receiver position. He should be able to hold its own while Williams recovers. But the news is just devastating, in my opinion, for Pittsburgh, especially for a Pittsburgh offense that's relied so heavily on the workhorse that is Conner. He scored 26 touchdowns a year ago, which equals exactly half the touchdowns Pittsburgh scored in 2014. If there is a bright spot, it's that Kadri Allison had 207 rushing yards last week with Conner out. But Pitt has extended the position just a week into the season. So top backup Rashid Ibrahim, also out for the season. He tore his Achilles. Chris James and Allison will now be counted on the shoulder of the load today against Akron and for the rest of the season. So we'll see what happens there. South Florida is up at Doak Campbell Stadium right now playing. Look, there's no way. Stop and think about this. Florida State is not going to relive what happened the last time USF came to Doak Campbell Stadium back in 2009. The Bulls pulled off an unbelievable and probable 17-7 win over the then number 17 ranked Seminoles. That would be the low point in what would be Bobby Bowden's final season. The programs have gone in radically different directions since. Bowden was forced out and Florida State has returned to prominence. UCF coach Jim Leavitt was also forced out after the 09 season after allegations of mistreating players, and the Bulls have only had one winning season since. Again, Notre Dame heads to Virginia tonight. Bad news for the Cavaliers. The Cavs dropped their season opener against UCLA with the usual assortment of issues there. They were poor on third down, 4 out of 14, 2.9 yards per carry. They sorely missed pressure they got from the departed Eli Harold and Max Ballas. Now, of course, Notre Dame comes into town off an impressive 38-3 win over Texas. This could be ugly tonight. So that's what's going on in and around the ACC. Some of your other games. Howard is at Boston College. Furman is at Virginia Tech. They should rebound. And Tulane is at Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech should get the win there. So that's what's going on in and around the ACC. Let's bring in our guest of the day. We had him on last week, and I just was thinking about who could I have on today to help me preview week two? Really some pretty big college football games. I mean, you look at the slate of games, and they're okay, but these three games obviously really stand out. And I couldn't think of anybody better than Joe Lisi from GoForTheTwo.com. Joe is probably one of the smartest guys I know in college football, and it's great to have him back on again this week. He's actually out on the road right now. Joe, welcome back to the College Football Blitz. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Alan. Thanks for having me. It's a great week for college football. I can't wait.
Yeah, no question. I was just talking about the ACC and some of the devastating injuries suffered there last week. Of course, Pitt with Conner and Clemson with Williams. Your take on how Pitt is going to survive this?
Well, I think what Pat Narduzzi wants to do, he came from Michigan State with D'Antonio. They like to run the football and rely on a heavy, solid defensive front seven. So I think that the game plan won't change today against Akron. I think it's a plug and play. Whoever fills in for James Conner today will step up. They put in a kid last week against Youngstown State, and he rushed for 200 yards. So I think it's all hands on deck. This is what makes college football so special. And we saw it happen last year with Ohio State. Somebody has to answer the bell.
You know, I wanted to ask you about that before we got into these three big games of the week here. You know, I really was one of the people that really felt like that Virginia Tech was going to beat Ohio State Monday night, Joe. I really did, especially when they came back on them there in the game after Ohio State got up early. But, wow, Urban Meyer sure does have a special-looking team there, doesn't he?
He does. He's got playmakers, Alan, in every single position, and it's a depth issue. I think we saw it with Virginia Tech Monday night. I mean, they were in the game, had the lead 17-14, and then once Brewer went down, the consistency on offense could not step up. The quarterback play fell off dramatically, and when you see a team like Ohio State where they were three deep at the quarterback position and actually play got better each and every week, that's the difference between what Urban Meyer does in terms of the recruiting trail that the others have to formulate now to catch up.
We're talking to Joe Lisi of GoForTheTwo.com, and before we let Joe go today, we'll make sure that you know where you can hear Joe and catch Joe, because I'm telling you, your college football week should not get started without hearing from Joe Lisi first. Joe, let's jump into what I consider to be, I think we're pretty lucky today, to be quite honest with you. We got three top 25 games on the slate. Let's start with the one that I'm the most interested in seeing today. Ironically enough, I don't know if it's because I'm looking for a train to derail here or like a NASCAR wreck or something. I mean, that might not be good comparisons, but when I look at Oklahoma going into Tennessee, number 19 Oklahoma at number 23 Tennessee, this is a big test for two schools. One, Joe, where the coach is on the hot seat. The other team, Joe, who's the sexy pick to win the toughest conference in the country. Your thoughts on Oklahoma at Tennessee today?
Yeah, you brought up Bob Stoops. He was 0-4 against top 25 competition last year, and the secondary got ripped, 276 passing yards per game, which was one of the worst passing secondaries in the nation last year. And then you mentioned Butch Jones and Tennessee. Allen, since 2010, Tennessee is 1-26 against top 25 competition, but this is the biggest game on their slate over the last 5 years. The fans in Rocky Top will be up. Yeah, it's a contrast in styles. I think if you look at this matchup right now, look for UT to run the football with Jalen Hurnan, that heavy offensive line. They have some players out. Joshua Dobbs stepped up, put up over 600 yards of total offense. Again, they rushed for 399 rushing yards in the win in Nashville against Bowling Green. They averaged 6.2 yards per carry. The one concern I have for Oklahoma going into this matchup is quarterback Baker Mayfield. He came from Texas Tech, had a solid game last week. They threw for over 400 yards. I think they put up 438 on Akron last week. But you look at this game, this is a road start for Baker Mayfield. He hasn't played in a situation like this. And how is that going to come into play in this matchup? I know Tennessee has injuries, but I like the home team here. I like what Butch Jones has built. He's got the fan base around him, and this team is bought into his system. I look at Bob Stoops, where he made some dramatic off-season changes to the offense. He got different co-coordinators there, and that's going to be a cause of concern on the road in Neyland Stadium at 6 o'clock tonight. I'm leaning towards Tennessee. I like what they have. I'm looking for an emotional effort. And keep in mind one thing. Tennessee secondary last year held their opponents to 53.3% completion percentage. They held Matt Johnson last week in check. He put up a lot of yards, but he only completed 56.5% of his passes. That's going to come into play in this game, and I think Tennessee gets a two-touchdown victory, 34-20.
Oh, I love the pick, Joe. I do. And, you know, they were, as you said, they ran for nearly, they were 1 yard shy officially of 400 yards last week. I absolutely love the pick. 102,455 people will be in attendance tonight at Neyland Stadium, and I'll bet you it'll be more than that. That means this is the biggest crowd to ever see Oklahoma play football. Now stop and think about that for just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. Currently, the largest attendance for an Oklahoma game anywhere is 96,009, and it's likely that this thing gets eclipsed by nearly 8,000 people. So this is going to be a very, very exciting night. This game tonight at 6 o'clock on ESPN. Another matchup tonight, Joe, that I'm going to be watching with keen interest. Kickoff is at 9:15. This game also on the SEC network as well. And that's LSU and Mississippi State. They open SEC play. To me, this is a must-see matchup in Starkville. The SEC West is the toughest division in the nation. As all seven teams enter week two ranked in the latest Associated Press Top 25, all in all, the SEC's got 10 teams ranked. Let's hear your thoughts on this one.
It's incredible. I mean, numbers-wise favor LSU. They've won seven straight in Starkville. Last year's win by Mississippi State snapped a 14-game losing streak to the LSU Tigers. Their last victory prior to last season was in 1999. They won that game in Starkville 17-16. But I look at the matchup last year where Dak Prescott and Josh Robinson and that offensive line wore down LSU, and they rushed for over 300 yards of offense in that game. They held on at the end. Brandon Harris did come in and almost led the comeback, and along with Anthony Jennings. But this is a game very interesting. It's a contrast in styles, and LSU does not have that game under their belt where they were supposed to play McNeese State last week. So how does that affect this team? The one thing I look about with this game is John Chavis. He's now with Texas A&M. I think John Chavis did an absolute great job, one of the best defensive coordinators in college football, in having his teams prepared. You look at LSU's rushing defense last year, they gave up 153 rushing yards per game. Seems okay, along with the spread offense, but that was their highest total since prior to 2008. LSU's prided themselves on a solid defensive front, defensive tackles, and defensive front seven, where it's very difficult to run on them. Last year, they gave a lot more in the running attack. They were +3 in turnover margin, and I look to Dak Prescott's mobility as being the key factor in this game. They played very well last week on the road in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. They won that game 34-16. You beat Mississippi State by throwing over the top. Last year they gave up 273 passing yards per game. They were even in turnover margin. At home in Starkville, I'm not so sure Brandon Harris can throw over the top. It's his first career start. They have weapons. I'm leaning towards Dak Prescott in this game, but I really want to see how this plays out. I think it's a low-scoring game, 20-17. I think Mississippi State gets the victory.
We're going to see a great matchup tonight, wide receiver secondary-wise, in Darrenia Wilson for Mississippi State. And I don't know who's going to draw him, Tre'Davious White, Jamal Adams, Kevin Tolliver II, maybe all three of them throughout points of this game. But I know Prescott's going to be looking for that single coverage all night there, Joe. Your thoughts on that potential matchup tonight?
Well, I think that's one of the key aspects in this game that you brought up, a great point. Dak Prescott needs to step up in key ball games. He did it last year against LSU in Baton Rouge, but again, down the stretch against Alabama on the road and against Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl, he did not step up. His consistency fell off. So I agree with you. I think this is a key matchup in the game. Can Wilson get separation early? And I think they're going to have to hit some of these big plays early in the ball game to force Kevin Steele and Ed Orgeron from loosening up that LSU defense. I think if they're game planning early on, they're going to put 8 in the box. They're going to force Dak Prescott to beat him with his arm. The key question is, can he do it? I think he can, but I still think it's a low-scoring game. I think that's what Mississippi State wants to get into. They don't have as many offensive weapons as they had last year, and they lose Josh Robinson, who was Dak Prescott's safety valve. So I think they want to keep it low-scoring, and I think still Dak Prescott and the crew get the victory in Starkville.
Yeah, it's a shame we have to wait until tonight for all three of these games. But the third and final game here, as we wrap up with Joe Lisi from GoForTheTwo.com. And, Joe, thanks for coming on such late notice. But number 7, Oregon, travels to number 5, Michigan State. Joe, it might be a little early to call this a playoff elimination game, but the winners likely will have a pretty good outstanding non-conference win on its resume here. I love this matchup tonight. At Michigan State, let's get your thoughts on this.
This is as contrasting as it gets, Alan. I mean, this is going to be a really great game, in my opinion. At the beginning of the season, I thought prior to week one, I thought Michigan State held the slight edge over Oregon because of their secondary and because of the quarterback play. But I look at both the games last week, Oregon at home against Eastern Washington. They rushed for 485 yards. I know Vernon Adams got a little bit banged up, and he was methodical, threw for about 245 yards. But I look from a scheme perspective, I don't think Oregon opened it up as much offensively. I know their defense gave up a lot of yards, but I look at that Michigan State team on the road in Western Michigan last week. I look at Connor Cook. He was 15-31, under 50%, didn't have his big play wide receiver, Tony Lippett. They struggled at times. I look at the defense, solid in run support, only gave up 18 yards in that matchup last week, but that secondary got burned by Corey Davis and Zach Terrell. Same type of formations that Oregon likes to run. Now, Oregon's not going to run between the tackles, A and B gaps, on Michigan State, which is their strength of their defense. They're going to run like Auburn does, sideline to sideline, and I think that's what wears down Michigan State in this matchup. I think the speed of Oregon, as long as they get Michigan State running sideline to sideline, they get tired later in the game, and then all of a sudden those seam routes open up. And I think, to me, that's the difference in this matchup. I think Oregon, from a scheme perspective, I don't think they're the same Michigan State team. And keep in mind, Pat Narduzzi is now in Akron coaching Pittsburgh versus the Zips today. I think that's a big factor as well.
Yeah, I look for Royce. I'm 100% with you. I like the Royce Freeman matchup against Michigan State's defensive front. Look, the Ducks, I mean, even though they lose Marcus Mariota, this is still a dynamic offense that can still wear you down, Joe, as you noted, with that team speed. Interesting stats here in this one. The Spartans are trying for their 17th consecutive victory in a home opener. And, oh, by the way, that's a streak that began back in 1999 with a win over these same Oregon Ducks. The Ducks have thrown at least one touchdown pass in 69 consecutive games. That ties a record set by Texas Tech from 2006 to 2007. Joe, please tell everyone where they can hear you and find you.
They can hear me on Yahoo Sports Radio Network every Saturday, 10 a.m. through 11 a.m. Eastern Time. You can go to streamysr.com. My work is at gophorthe2.com. That's the number two. And they can follow me on Twitter at gophorthe2. That's the number two as well. Love the show, Alan. Love talking college football with you.
Hey, Joe, thank you so much, and we look forward to having you on a lot this year as we return to our normal schedule of Thursday night starting this week. He's Joe Lisi, everybody. Please give him a follow on Twitter at GoForTheTwo, the number two. And, Joe, drive safe and have a great weekend, my friend.
You too, my friend. Talk to you soon.
Take care. That's Joe Lisi, everybody. And, again, I mean, the guy's on the road spitting numbers out like nobody's business. Nobody have I talked to or had on the show knows the game like Joe Lisi knows college football. And that's why we call it the College Football Blitz, because you got to pay attention. You got to know the game. This isn't a show for the faint of heart. You got to know. If you're going to tune in, you're going to have to know what it is we're talking about. And Joe gave his predictions, and I like all three of them, except the only one I would disagree on, Joe, with is I do like LSU tonight. I have to stick with LSU. They were my dark horse and my pick to win the SEC this year. So I'll take LSU to go in Starkville tonight and get the victory. But other than that, yeah, I like Oregon to wear down Michigan State tonight myself. And, of course, in the first matchup, Oklahoma at Tennessee, I just think it's going to be a little bit too much for the supposed big game Bob tonight in Neyland, Tennessee, 103,000 strong. I like the SEC team tonight. Look, I know Stoops has got a 5-4 record against the SEC in his last nine games with three straight victories over him. He beat Alabama in the Sugar Bowl 2 years ago. He beat Tennessee pretty handily last year in Oklahoma. But this is a different ballgame. You know, this is a Tennessee team that, again, a lot of people like in that SEC West. So, we'll see how this all pans out coming up. And, again, of course, the big battle for the SEC West, LSU and Mississippi State. I'll take LSU. You're listening to the College Football Blitz here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. Let's get in a couple of commercials here, and then we'll come back and we'll hear. I'll tell you a little bit about what's going on in the rest of the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, and then we'll wrap up the show. Again, you're listening to the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. This is the College Football Blitz.
Fan Up Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com as your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
Welcome back to the College Football Blitz. Florida State with an early kickoff over FAU. 11:30 kickoff and already a 7-0 lead for Florida State there. And other games that have already kicked off, Auburn and Jacksonville State, 0-0. And that's all I have on my scoreboard here. Of course, yesterday, Miami with a victory over FIU down in Boca Raton, Florida. Brad Kaya throws a touchdown pass in that one, and he gets his 15th consecutive game with a touchdown pass. Every game Brad Kaya has played in and during his career, he's thrown a touchdown pass. I'm big on Brad Kaya. I like everything that this kid has to offer. 44-20, by the way, was that final score last night over the Florida Atlantic Owls. So, again, much thanks to Joe Lisi for coming on and talking college football. The three big games of the day today. Let's take a look at the Pac-12. The Pac-12, while we noted that the SEC had 10 teams in the AP Top 25 this week, which is a record, by the way, the Pac-12, a lot of people, you read a lot this week, the Pac-12 didn't get off to a stellar performance last week. A lot of that due in part to the fact Arizona State, Stanford, California, or Stanford anyway, Arizona State, Stanford, getting beat pretty easily. Stanford, of course, drops out of the top 25, but you still have Oregon, USC, UCLA, Arizona, and Utah in the top 25 so far. You look at the schedule of slate of games today around the Pac-12, and Utah is at Utah State. That's 7 o'clock on ESPN2 tonight. Utah was with the 24-17 win over Michigan. Utah has now defeated the Wolverines for three consecutive times. Utah set a Rice-Eccles Stadium record with an attendance mark of 47,825 fans last week. The Utes have now sold out 32 consecutive home games. Senior linebacker Gianni Paul led his tied his career high with 14 tackles for his third career game with double digits in tackles. He also had 14 tackles against Michigan and Oregon State last season. The Utes were successful in each of their three red zone attempts with two touchdowns and a field goal. Of course, I like Utah to win at home today against Utah State. Oregon State, of course, is at Michigan, a game that Joe Lisi and I just previewed for you. Sacramento State's at Washington. Freshman quarterback Jake Browning became the first true freshman to win the starting quarterback spot, as well as the first true freshman quarterback to start for head coach Chris Peterson. Browning won 20 of 35 in passing for 150 yards and an interception in a 16-13 loss at number 23. Boise State, Peterson's old school. Sophomore wide receiver Dante Pettis was the lone Husky to find the end zone, coming off a 75-yard punt return for a touchdown in the second half. Massachusetts is at Colorado. Washington State's at Rutgers. San Diego State is at California. The 73 points scored in the 73-14 win over Grambling State were the second most points scored in school history. The Golden Bears last week amassed 656 yards of total offense in the process. Junior quarterback Jared Goff completed 24 of 32 passes for 309 yards, three touchdowns, and one interception. Goff connected with junior wide receiver Kenny Lawler, who made six catches for 69 yards and equaled a school record with three touchdown receptions. Arizona is at Nevada. Arizona is 10-0 in the regular season, in regular season non-conference play under Rich Rod. After starting at slot receiver last season, redshirt junior Devontae Neal made his debut at cornerback and registered a team high, tying 11 tackles. Idaho is at USC. The Trojans won their 18th consecutive season opener with a 55-7 win over Arkansas State last week. Senior quarterback Cody Kessler picked up where he left off last season as he completed 19 of 25 for 236 yards and four touchdowns with no interceptions for an opening weekend passing efficiency of, 200. Oregon is at Michigan State, a game that Joe Lisi and I I don't know why it's on this Pac-12 thing twice. UCF is at Stanford. Look, Stanford, the Cardinal fell 16-6 to Northwestern. And if another offense in the country was as bad as Charlie Strong's in Texas' last week, it was Stanford's. But at least Charlie Strong in Texas had the excuse that they played a pretty damn good defense in Notre Dame. Now, not that Northwestern's all that bad, but come on, it's Northwestern. They lost the season opener for the first time in 8 years. Stanford only recorded 240 offensive yards and made only two trips
inside the 20-yard line. Stanford went without a touchdown for the first time since 2007, and its national best streak of scoring at least 10 points in 95 consecutive games. Freshman quarterback Josh Rosen and his UCLA Bruins are at UNLV. Rosen was tabbed the Walter Camp National Player of the Week after his debut performance in the win over Virginia. 11 different players were on the receiving end of Rosen's passes. We stop and think about a true freshman quarterback finding 11 different targets. That is what I call PDI, pretty damn impressive. And to finish off the Pac-12, we've got Cal Poly at Arizona State. Sun Devils looking to rebound from their loss last week. Senior wide receiver DJ Foster, though, extended his streak at least one reception to 41 games, the longest active streak in FBS. He matches Derek Hagan for second on ASU's all-time list of consecutive games with a reception and trails only John Jefferson school record of 44 with six receptions. So there is your SEC, your Pac-12 slate for today's week two of the college football season. And again, it is an it's step-up week in college football is really what it is. What's step-up week mean? You know, you have rivalry week, all kinds of weeks. But this week is step-up week. It's time to show you belong, prove your worth, make the plays, bounce back from adversity. It's loaded with players moving in for sideline stars, teams coming off huge upsets, and others determined really to rebound following some pretty startling defeats, i.e. Stanford last week, Nebraska, et cetera. Then you got the matchup of top 10 teams with Oregon visiting number 5 Michigan State. So this is a pretty good week of college football for week two. What about the Big Ten? What's going on in the Big Ten this week? Well, you've got Western Illinois at Illinois. Western Illinois 1-0. Head coach Bob Nielsen taking on Illinois, who's 1-0. Oregon State, of course, again, at Michigan. Indiana at Purdue. Minnesota at Colorado State. Washington State at Rutgers. Bowling Green is at Maryland. Keep your eye on that one. The Terps with a big Big Ten, not a conference win, but a big win last week against Richmond. Bowling Green last week passed for 433 yards against an SEC secondary in Tennessee. Maryland had some concerns back there in their secondary, but they do have Likely back there, the kid that I told you about earlier who had all of those punt return yards and is considered one of the best shutdown corners in the Big Ten. Buffalo is going to look to be Penn State's rebound love today. Penn State, who was handled quite nicely last week by Temple, quarterback Christian Hackenberg sacked 10 times last week. Buffalo, without Khalil Mack. It's a good thing Khalil Mack's in the National Football League. The once former Buffalo player would probably have a field day against this Penn State offensive line. Miami of Ohio was at Wisconsin. Hawaii in their rainbow jerseys traveled to Ohio State. That should go over well today. And Eastern Illinois is at Northwestern. Don't ask me what I mean by that. I won't answer. You also have Iowa at Iowa State, South Alabama at Nebraska, and Florida International at Indiana. Wouldn't it be a kick in the ass if South Alabama was able to go in and beat Nebraska? Just wouldn't it be a kick in the ass? People would be screaming for Bo Pelini to come back to Nebraska. I'd love to see it. I absolutely would love to see it. So we've done the Big Ten. We've done the SEC or the ACC. We've done the Pac-12. What about the SEC? And, I mean, you can say what you want to, but they are the best conference in the nation with 10 teams ranked in the top 20, top 25. You look at SEC football this week, and the schedule, pretty much, you got a couple of nice games in there. You've got Middle Tennessee State at Alabama. That should be an easy win for Alabama. Toledo at Arkansas. Yeah, I like Brett Bielema and the Razorbacks to continue to roll. Jacksonville State at Auburn. Again, the game's not really worth talking about. East Carolina's at Florida. Jim McElwain should be 2-0. The interesting note in that game
Last week, before the first game of the year against New Mexico State, Treyon Harris was named the starter for the Florida Gators. This week, McElwain gives it to Will Grier to see what he can do with the starting odd. Georgia's at Vanderbilt in an SEC contest. Kentucky's at South Carolina. Remember, Kentucky last year beat South Carolina at home, so the old ball coach is going to be looking for revenge today, and he gets Stoops and the Wildcats at home at South Carolina. And of course, the big game that Joe Lisi and I broke down, LSU at Mississippi, Fresno State's at Ole Miss, Missouri's at Arkansas State, Oklahoma at Tennessee, and Ball State is at Texas A&M. Next week, in terms of looking ahead to next week, a couple of big games on the docket next week. Ole Miss at Alabama, Auburn at LSU, Florida at Kentucky, South Carolina at Georgia. All games we will preview Thursday night. Back to our regular Thursday night schedule. We took off this Thursday night because the National Football League kicked off in a game between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New England Cheaters. So we'll come back Thursday night and get back to normal with that schedule. Your 2015 SEC Players of the Week and Week 1 offensively, Derrick Henry from Alabama, the junior running back, rushed for 147 yards and 3 touchdowns on just 13 carries. So while Todd Gurley and T.J. Yeldon and company are now in the National Football League, it doesn't appear as if Nick Saban and company are going to miss a beat in that backfield. Defensively speaking, Sky Moore, linebacker for South Carolina, the junior linebacker, led the team with 10 tackles and came up with a pair of interceptions, both in the end zone, mind you, preserving the Gamecocks' 17-13 win over the Tar Heels. Your SEC Special Teams Player of the Week was Daniel Carlson. He was the place kicker for Auburn. He kicked a career-long 56-yard field goal, was a perfect 3-for-3 on PATs, and all 6 kickoffs went for touchbacks in the Tigers' 31-24 win over Louisville. So there are some of your outstanding performances in the Southeastern Conference for Week 1 of the season. And I guess the only conference left to really take a look at, and you look at some of the power rankings in and around college football, would be the Big 12. And, of course, TCU and Baylor last week didn't get the impressive wins that I think a lot of folks were looking for. TCU, Trevon Boykin, he wasn't as sharp as expected. He's a potential Heisman candidate. And the final score at Minnesota last Thursday reflected that. It's possible that Alabama's big second half against the Badgers slid the TCU team down to number 3 because Alabama moves up to number 2 in the AP poll. Baylor, 21 first half points given up to Chad Morris's SMU offense, awakening some of those same old, but how good's the defense conversations for Baylor. But again, we talked about that Baylor offense and averaging 10.5 yards per play. So Seth Russell, the quarterback, they're not missing Bryce Petty there. Just keep in mind, I didn't think this was going to be a year where a lot of people had 2 Big 12 teams lined up for the college football playoff and Baylor and TCU. I don't think so. And at this pace, unless these teams look and play more impressively than they did in Week 1, and the competition, keep in mind, is going to get stiffer as the year goes on. But, TCU ranked 3rd, Baylor ranked 4th. Again, it's early, and you still have an opportunity to erase away any memories of bad performances earlier in the year. And again, the Big 12's out-of-conference schedule in the month of September, early October, is one of the tougher ones in the country for some of the better teams in the conference. You look at Oklahoma tonight, traveling to take on Tennessee. So your AP top 10 teams in the land, Georgia comes in at number 10, Notre Dame 9, USC 8, Oregon 7, Auburn 6, Michigan State 5, I'm sorry, Baylor 4, TCU 3, Alabama 2, and Ohio State 1. The new poll featured a couple of shakeups. The debut of some newcomers, Texas A&M came in at number 16 along with Utah and Mississippi State. LSU remained at number 14 despite their canceled game at McNeese State. Obviously, the biggest storyline of the week in the AP Top 25 poll was the presence of all 7 SEC West teams and a record 10 SEC teams ranking in the top 25. And I'm going to tell you right now, if Jim McElwain and company go out today and the SEC and LSU and Mississippi State put on a damn good performance tonight, you're liable to see 11 teams in the top 25 as we approach Tuesday, as we approach the Tuesday polls next week. So that's what's on tap this week in college football. Another great week of college football coming up. Three big-time top 25 games. We get them early, and we don't get them often. We get them early this year. I know a couple of years ago we had Florida State and Clemson. But relish it, because, again, we don't see it often where we get three of them. We might get one, but we don't get three. You know, I appreciate everybody tuning in today and listening to the College Football Blitz. I'd like to thank my guest, Mr. Joe Lisi, for joining in. And again, it's called the College Football Blitz for a reason, because we don't sit on here for 3 hours. We get to the point, we recap the week, we look ahead to this week, and of course, the day college football has really already started. Thank you, NFL, for screwing up the schedule this week. Back at our regular time, Thursday night, 8 o'clock this week, right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. So, you've been listening to the College Football Blitz. I'm Alex Lawrzynski. Give the show a follow on Twitter, at the CFB1. Check out the Facebook group, the College Football Blitz. Also, please check out me personally on Twitter, at ZlotSports. Have a great sports weekend. Enjoy the NFL tomorrow. Be sure to join myself and my co-host, Brian Yates, tomorrow morning at 9:30, as we bring you week one of the NFL standard right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. We will preview every game in the National Football League tomorrow. We will also cover who must start and who must sit as fantasy football options tomorrow. So again, that's Brian Yates and I tomorrow morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Network. So for Joe Lisi, I'm Alex Lawrzynski. Have a great sports week, everybody. Take care.
We go outside them, inside them, outside them, and when we get them on the run once, we're going to keep them on the run. And we're not going to pass unless our secondary comes up too close. But don't forget, man, we're going to get them on the run, we're going to go, 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 and we aren't going to stop until we go to that goal line. Don't forget, man, today is the day we're going to win. They can't lick us, and the blackout is on. The first whistle of the man with the fight, 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 fight. What do you think, man?
We hand it off to Herschel. There's a hole. 5, 10, 12. He's running all over people. Oh, you Herschel Walker. My God almighty, he ran right through two men. Herschel ran right over two men.
He drops straight back, has some time, now scrambles away from one hit. Looks, uncorks a deep one for the end zone. Phelan is down there.
Oh, he got it!
Ball comes loose and the Bears have to get out of bounds. Rodgers along the sideline, another one. They're still in deep trouble at midfield. They tried to do a couple of... The ball is still loose as they get it to Rodgers. They give it back now to the 30. They're down to the 20. Oh, the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone. He's got it. The Bears have won. The Bears have won. Oh, my God. The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
And it was powered by
more yards to those.
Oh, they don't have him yet. Look at Tommy Frazier. How many tackles can one man break?
It's up. Gets it to the right.
Three wide out at the top of the picture. Stewart with time. Let's it go. He's got three people down there. The ball's up in the air. Caught. Touchdown. Caught by Westbrook for a touchdown.
intended for Gamble. Now there is a penalty flag thrown.
Bad call. Bad call.
Randall stops, throws it as far as he can.
The national championship on the line right here.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Might be critical here to save time on throwing the ball.
Down the middle. James. The lateral. To the corner of the end zone. Can you believe that? Boise State for the win. They hand it off to Johnson. Boise State has won the Bruschino Fiesta Bowl.
Reverse hand out to Warren. Cuts off his block. Cuts it back against the grain. Runs into it. Keeps his balance. Looks for a block. Breaks another tackle. Zigzags.